God. The question a little bit ago is, aren't you glad that God is God and you're not? I wonder how difficult it would be to be God. Did you ever think what it would be like to be God? Now, don't go off spastic yet. But can you imagine what it would be? Can you imagine what your day would be like if you were God? First of all, can you imagine all the prayer requests coming? Can you imagine the love and the mercy that you would have to be showing everyone? And maybe the most difficult thing to try to understand with God is His standard. Can you imagine having a standard and never, ever veering from it? Can you imagine what that would be like? Okay, let me give an example. Parents, we have children that we are responsible for. We're responsible for their upbringing. And as a parent, you set rules in place. What happens when you set a rule in place and the child breaks the rule? Correction. What happens when you have a standard in place and the child now breaks the rules, but there's a real good reason that he broke the rule? Like what? Oh, that's it right there. Can you imagine being God and you now have a standard in place? Now, realize this. God is a God of order, not of disorder. God is a God who sets a plan in place, and it's perfect because God put it there. And can you imagine a God having a standard and saying, this is the standard? And it doesn't matter. You broke the rule. And we sure like looking at God as a God of love and mercy and compassion and grace. And He loves us so much. But God does have a standard. I think a lot of times as parents, our standard may fluctuate with what has happened or how much we love that child. And maybe our tendency as parents is to be a little lenient sometimes because we love the child. And maybe we're not doing them any good by being lenient. You see, God has a standard in place, and being God is God, He has to hold that standard. Aren't you glad you're not God? Because what would you do with someone who you love very much, but they never, there's that one rule. The rule is, you must accept me. You must believe in me. You must love me. And what happens when they don't return that love? You see, it would be difficult to be God. I think we would be okay on the loving part, and maybe I think we might love to the point of being too lenient. But God holds a standard, and God sets a standard in place. And when God puts a standard in place, it's a standard. And it's God saying, this is the way it has to be. Even as much as He loves us, God has a standard in place, and He has to abide by that standard. So I'm glad I'm not God. Because if I were God, I think probably everyone would make heaven. And God says, not everybody's going to get there, because I have a standard. There's a guy that I meet with every Thursday, and I've met with him now for 5 years. And I give him the passage of Scripture. It's coming out of Matthew, and it's chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I don't know if we're there today or not. We might be. No. But that passage of Scripture is unique because it's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is now preaching, and he says, "Wide is the road, and it's easy to travel. Many travel it. It is the road to destruction. But narrow is the gate, and hard is the walk, the path, and a few make it." You see, God's setting a standard in place. And this guy is, he's always questioning, but he's going, "Then I'm going to go to hell." And I said, "Why would you do that?" And he says, "Well, it says many, and I would have to be part of the many." And I said, "You don't have to be part of the many. You could be part of the few. It's this. What does it take to be saved?" You see, we have to understand this. I'm a full believer in that passage of Scripture, and I do believe that there will be more people perish than will be in heaven. You may disagree. I'm not quite sure of where you would stand in regards to showing me a passage, but Jesus said, "Many go down the wide road, and a few go over here." You see, God has set a standard in place. And being that God put the standard in place, God can't even back away from it. But I'm also thankful for this. He is a God of love and mercy. He's a God of compassion and grace. He is a just God. And praise God for that. That He is just. And He is righteous. God has set a standard in place. But thank God that He is a just God. I praise God that He judges correctly. I believe it was the first praise and worship song this morning that talked about every knee bowing. And I thought, how interesting that is. Lord, I'm amazed by You that You would give us that praise and worship when for the next couple of weeks we will be discussing every knee shall bow. Father, we come this morning, and Lord, we come as people in need. Lord, when we come to You, we can't bring anything that would impress You. We couldn't bring any amount of money, any amount of gifts, any amount of anything that would make You accept us. We thank You, Lord, that You provided the only way into eternal heaven. And His name is Jesus. We thank You for Your offer and for Your gift. And Lord, we come before You only because of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, would You open up our ears? Lord, would You make us attentive? Lord, for just a very short period of this day, that we would actually sit and listen and focus on You and nothing else. Lord, I pray that Your word is impressed on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I find that God is a God who has set a standard in place, and this is it. And He never backs away from that standard, and He never adds to it. Wonder what kind of standard it would be if God says, "This is what's required," and then 100 years later says, "Yeah, but you also have to do this." Or, "I'm taking that part away so it's not the requirement anymore." You see, God has set a standard in place, and from the beginning to the end, that standard is absolutely perfect, and it's always in place. God has set this standard up for us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. And when God says something, you can take it to the bank. That is the way it is. Matthew chapter 12, and we're just going to start here this morning. As we start sharing, as we start teaching and giving God's word, I don't really think that you're going to find anything brand new. I don't really think that there is going to be a revelation coming, brand new revelation coming from the pulpit. Maybe through that word, God will give you a revelation about his word this day. But I think probably most of us have heard at least part of the message before. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus says, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters." Now what we find in this simple verse is this. God has a standard in place. And the standard begins this way. There is two groups of people. There's not three or four. There's no wishy-washy here. There's no lining up on the fence and saying, "Well, I'm good as long as I'm right here in the middle." You see, there is no middle here. Jesus is stating this. You are either for me or you are against me. Those are the only two picks. If you're for me, you are a believer in me. You are a disciple of me. You love me. If you're against me, you don't love me. You're not a believer. You're not going to follow me. You see, there's only two options. A believer or an unbeliever. And as much as you're sitting here today, there's still only two groups. There's unbelievers and there's believers. So if you're here today and you're breathing, you're in one of those two groups. For Jesus or against Jesus. Now you're in an interesting place here today because if you're here in this sanctuary today, you have already been wooed by the Spirit. If you're sitting in the congregation today, you have either been wooed by Him and you are now a believer, or you are being wooed by Him to become a believer. So, at least if you're here today, you're in a good place. But our desire should be in the best place. And that's to be for Jesus Christ. The best place is to be a believer in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has you here today. And either you have accepted Jesus and are a believer, or at least He has you here today because He's pulling you to become a believer. The fact remains, you're either for Jesus or against Jesus. There's only two options. Church attendance does not get you into heaven. Aren't you glad that God establishes the standard? Because if Pastor Doug established the standard, you may be able to miss one service a year. 2. Praise God, he establishes the standard. Church attendance is not what gains you heaven. However, it's a very good idea to be here. You get to enjoy the fellowship of other believers. I think that strengthens, encourages, and builds up. Membership to Leesville Faith Community Chapel does not gain you heaven. What's the purpose of membership here? It's fellowship with each other. You're making a commitment that I'm here. I enjoy the people. I enjoy God here. Membership doesn't get you a whole lot in Leesville Faith Community Chapel. Correct? I mean, it's... Although I would encourage you, because I think it is good to have a commitment to a church family. But by the way, membership does not get you into heaven. Money does not get you into heaven. Matter of fact, you can only be for Jesus or against Jesus. And the thing is, if you have not made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, you are on the against side of Jesus as you stand here. Please understand that. There's no middle ground. If you are not for Jesus, if you have not accepted Him and believe in Him and are following Him, you're on the opposing team. There's only two sides, remember? So God's got you here. And He's saying, I want you on my side. Because if you don't specifically accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're on the against team. Well, Pastor, that's not fair. I'm not ready to make a decision yet. Well, God's got you here today. It's time to make a decision. You see, at any time, since God numbers your day, this could be the last number you come up with. As we're born into this world, we're born awesome. And it's pretty sweet seeing them tiny little ones. But when they start to grow up, they're not so sweet anymore sometimes. But you see, as we start gaining knowledge, and as we start maturing, we fall into this camp automatically. Scripture says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So at that point in time, there needs to be this decision. I now accept Jesus. I believe in Him. And until you make that statement, you're on the against side. And if today is your last day, you perish forever. There's a neat little verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And I think we should have this one memorized. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, there's God stating the standard. It's very simple. If you confess and believe, that's what it takes to be on the for side. If you're going to be a follower and be on the team of Jesus, This is the verse. That's all it takes. You can't add to it. You can't subtract from it. There it is. That if I confess that Jesus is Lord and believe my heart that God raised him from the dead, I am saved. And now I become a follower of Jesus Christ. But unless you make that statement, unless you confess, unless you believe, you end up on the against Jesus side. Two different groups, the ones who are believers and the ones who are not. But all of these people share some commonalities. Out of both of these opposing sides, there is a ground where it's common between these two groups. Each group, whether believer or unbeliever, each group will be judged. Well, wait a minute. If I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, why would he have to judge me? What's that going to be like? Well, the common ground is this. Everyone, absolutely every person, from way back to the end, will be judged. It's common between these two groups. Each group, everyone in those groups, your eternal placement depends on your judgment. You see, everybody gets judged. And where you spend eternity is now determined by that judgment. Doesn't matter whether you're the believer or unbeliever. You get judged, and your eternal placement, or where you're going to spend eternity, depends upon that judgment. And this is the other common between these two groups, unbelievers and believers. Every knee will bow to the person of Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow. That means that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to bow before the Lord. You know, there's that great song that says, "What am I going to do when I get there? I don't know if I'm going to sing, dance, fall on my face." I do know this. I do know you'll bow before the Lord. Every knee will bow. Wouldn't it be awesome if you did it willingly? Wouldn't it be awesome if it was your desire to now bow before the Lord? The song said, every knee will bow. And that's a common between these for and against. They're all going to bow. Now over there we have the group that is bowing willingly. What a day that will be. Over here is the group. They're still going to bow before Jesus Christ. But they'll be forced to do it. See, pride has swelled up. I'm not going to do that. You see, when you bow, you're showing Master and Lord. And the passage says, every knee will bow before me. Over here, the group has gone, I'm doing it now. And I pray that you're doing it now. And this group over here has gone, ain't no way. Except God says, Yahweh, you'll bow before me. So these groups, either for or against, have these common points between them. They're all going to be judged, whether you're a believer or unbeliever. Your eternal destiny depends upon where you're going to be judged at. And you will bow before the Lord. Aren't you glad you're not God? As we make our way through this little series, the first thing we need to understand is this. All people will be judged by the one true God. It wouldn't really be fair if this group over here was judged by God, and this group over here was judged by somebody else. Think what would happen in the church if we were having to decide a judgment, and you have this person over here judging this person, and then another person over here judging this person. Would that be fair? No, our standards would be different between this one and that one. Since everybody is all judged by one true God, his judgment has to be fair and perfect, because it's the one true God that's doing all the judging. So it doesn't matter if you're the four guys, if you're the believers in Jesus, you will be judged by God. And we know this. His judgment will be absolutely perfect over our lives. It has to be, because he's perfect. But this group over here that's the unbelievers, they're also going to be judged by the same true God, because that's the only way it would be fair. God put the standard in place, and he knows it better than anybody does. So the God that judges the fours is perfect, and the God that judges the against is absolutely perfect, because we all get judged by one and only one God, perfect God. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans, Hebrews, Leviticus, these are the exciting ones. You can't read Romans and just read through it. You have to study Romans. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? You see, there's human judgment right there, because as judges, we really can't be fair. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Yours may say Christ. That's great, by the way. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, somewhere it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. That may be a little bit more to understand than every knee bowing. Every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Well, guess what that account time is called? Judgment. Now, particularly look at verse 11. For it is written somewhere, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. It's apparent as we read this passage of Scripture that Paul is speaking about an interesting group. Look at what he says. Verse 10, but you, why do you judge your brothers? Or you again, why do you regard your brothers with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Paul has to be talking about a certain group of people. Which group is he speaking of? Us. Who's us? The believers. Paul has to be talking about the believers here. First of all, this letter is going to Roman Christians. Second of all, he's referring to them in a particular way. Brothers. So Paul here is he's giving us this information. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you will be judged. Wait a minute. That's not fair. If I confess and I believe, I'm saved. I shouldn't have to go through a judgment. Well, yeah, remember what the passage is every knee will bow. You're going to be judged. Paul is letting us know that believers are going to be judged here. But I want you to look at verse 11. Paul, is he before Jesus or after Jesus? He's after Jesus, correct? The book of Romans, the letter to the Roman Christians, before or after Jesus? So Paul is writing and he's saying the very words of God is, every knee will bow before the Lord and every tongue confess and give praise to him after Jesus. Right? You guys can be talked into anything. What's it say? For as I live, says the Lord, not Paul. For as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Now, how many are included? How many knees will bow before God? Every one of them. But Paul, in his writing to the risen Christ, you will bow before the Lord. You will be judged. But notice he says, for it is written, says the Lord, every knee shall bow. What about the ones before Jesus? Well, they were before Jesus. They can't count. Because they were before Jesus. How are you going to bow to Jesus if you were before him? Notice what Paul says as he writes this. He says, for it is written. So I'm taking for granted that it's written somewhere. It's got to be written because he says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. So somewhere it's written. Megan, where is it written? Isaiah 45. That's Old Testament. That would be before Jesus. Isaiah chapter 45. Verse 23. It should be circled and highlighted in your Bible, because that's the standard. Isaiah 45, verse 23. For I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. Paul writes in Romans, for it is written. Well, it is written somewhere else. It's written in the Old Testament. And it doesn't change. Every knee will bow before the Lord. Every one of them. So whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, whether it is way before Jesus or any time after Jesus, believe this. Every knee will bow before God. And give praise or allegiance. Well, then, everyone ends up in heaven. The confession's different. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. New Testament. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 should be circled and highlighted. Or there's some squares there. There's some pen there. Verse 5, Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now we start to see about this knee bowing. Who will do it? And what will take place during this knee bowing? What will be confessed? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. What will every tongue confess? Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, in my understanding of the word every means every. What about the person who cannot talk? Every. If he could never talk, at this point, he does. What will be confessed? We know every knee is going to bow, but there has to be a confession. It's every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ. What's that mean, Christ? Don't look at your footnotes. What does Christ mean? Messiah. Jesus the Messiah is Lord. But Christ also means this, and Messiah also means this. The anointed one. Every knee, absolutely every knee, from the beginning to the end, will bow before Jesus Christ. They will make a confession. The confession is, you, Jesus, are Lord. Now, if you're for Jesus, how hard is that confession going to be? It's going to be the desire of our heart, should be the desire of our hearts now. Jesus Christ, you are the Messiah. You are God. You are God. And all I can do is just bow down before you. Thank you, Lord, to give you my love and my understanding. Lord, let me be your bondservant. You are Lord. But you see, the passage says every knee and every tongue. And being there's only two groups, that time of bowing and confession is going to be different, because the ones who love the Lord are going to bow and make that confession because they desire to. And this group over here will be forced. But they will bow before Jesus and they will confess this Jesus, is the Christ. My mind goes to, and Terry, I know you're going to know this better than I do. Jesus asked the question, who do people say I am? Do you remember that? Peter, the guy who just talks before he throws his brain in gear, makes a statement. He makes a proclamation. You remember what it was? You are the Christ. Two groups, both of them will bow and both of them will confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, the Old Testament passage says God. I'm going, well, wait a minute. God, Jesus and God are two different things. So in the Old Testament, they bow before God or will bow before God. In the New Testament, you'll bow before Jesus and confess before Jesus. Right? Because Old Testament, New Testament. No. John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus makes a fantabulous statement. He says, in just one phrase, I and the Father are one. Every knee will bow before God. Is Jesus God? Every knee will bow before God. Every tongue confess that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Lord. And if you love Jesus, if you've confessed, and if you believe, you are claiming Jesus, and you're now going, oh, I could do this. Let me do this. These old knees will take it, but I want to bow before the Lord because I love Him. And I know He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. I live in Him. And that confession and knee bowing will be willing, and we can't wait. The sad part to all this is still this group over here. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and they will. If God says it's going to happen, there will be a time when they fall down on their knees and they will confess that Jesus is Lord. This group over here, they're making a confession and they believe. So the confession and the belief on this side leads to salvation in Jesus Christ. They love Jesus. They are believers and disciples and followers of Jesus. They're willingly bowing and confessing, but this side, they will be forced. They will bow and they will confess, but their bowing and their confession will not lead to salvation. It will lead to condemnation. Why not do it now? There will be a day when you will bow and confess, but it's going to be too late. Every knee, every tongue. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. Who's speaking? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, Did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, both groups have this in common. Both groups will be judged by one God. Both groups will be judged to determine their eternal placement. And both groups will confess and bow down before the Lord. Are you? Will you do it voluntarily? Or could you be in the group that will be forced to your knee? Would you be in the group that says, Lord, Lord, you know who I am. I did all this good stuff. And Jesus says to you, depart from me. I don't know who you are. Which group do you fall into this morning? My prayer is that everyone in here would say, let me go to my knee and confess Jesus right now. Because I love him. I went in that group. But there could be one this morning that has never confessed and believed. You've just never done that. I'm here this morning to tell you this. You're not in a good place. If you've not confessed Jesus as Lord and believed that God raised him from the dead, you're not in a good place. And if today is your last day, there will be a day that you make that confession, but it'll be too late. So this morning, where do you fall? What side? Are you a for or an against? Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you this morning, and we know that you are the one true God. Lord, we know that you look upon the heart. You don't look upon church attendance or membership or the amount of money. You look upon the heart. And Lord, right now you're looking at the heart of each one in here. And Lord, at this point, there's no pulling the wool over your eyes. We don't have to say a thing because you already know the answer, because you look right at the heart. Lord, I know that you are the one true judge, and you set the standard in place. And Lord, right now, this very moment, if this was our last breath, you know exactly by looking at our heart where we would spend eternity. But Lord, as long as we're breathing, we still have an opportunity to come to you. As you've been quiet and as God has been looking at your heart, not only does he know where you stand, you know where you stand. If you've not accepted Jesus as the Christ, as Lord, you could spend eternity in hell. But as you're breathing right now, you still have a privilege and an opportunity. If you've never accepted Jesus before, very simple. Get up out of your pew and don't pay attention to anybody else in here. Make your way to this altar and give your life to Jesus. get on bended knee because you want to, and make the confession because you desire to. So right now, I'm just going to give you a few seconds, and in quietness, you have to decide. No one can do that for you, not even God. But my urgency is, if you have not accepted Jesus, now is the day. Now is the time. It's only a few steps. And I'll give you a couple seconds. Lord, I give you thanks. The appearance of man would be that everyone in here is saved. But I'm not you. You're the one who sets the standard, and you already know. Lord, if there be any here that have not accepted you, Lord, I pray that you don't let them alone. I pray that your Spirit would be after them. The rest of this day, the rest of this week, I pray your Spirit would be after them until they recognize that you are the Christ. But Lord, let it be soon. In Jesus' name, amen.